RTVE Audio. Descarga la nueva app y disfruta de los programas de RNE y nuestros podcasts originales.
Radio Exterior de España.
English Language Service.
Greetings from Madrid and welcome to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio, where we bring Spain to you through our shortwave broadcasts. Amy Egan speaking, joined by my colleague Marilyn Quintana. What do we have today, Marilyn?
Well, Amy, on today's broadcast we speak about social media. A few weeks ago, a Spanish judge ordered the closing of instant messaging platform Telegram. Although he backtracked a few days later and the order was not applied, it did raise some questions about freedom of speech and its similarities to the TikTok ban in the US. To tell us about the difficulties that fast-developing technologies pose when it comes to the regulations, we spoke with Enrique Puertas, Doctor in Applied Information Technologies and Director of the Big Data Master in the Universidad Europea of Madrid.
We have been seeing that in the last 2-3 years, technology, especially artificial intelligence, is evolving with very quickly, and usually the regulatory aspects of the technology cannot evolve at the same speed.
Today we have help from sound technician Javier López and production help from Cristina Dorado.
Before we get into the rest of the broadcast, the news from Spain.
After Iran's Saturday missile and drone attack over Tel Aviv, Europe has joined the call urging Israel to show restraint in their response. Josep Borrell, the EU's foreign policy chief.
Hay que controlar un proceso increciendo de yo ataco, tú atacas, porque eso puede llegar a provocar una guerra regional de alta intensidad que nos impida acabar con la guerra en Gaza.
We have to control this crescendo of I attack, you attack me back, because this could cause a high-intensity regional war that would stop us from ending the war in Gaza.
Washington and the United Nations Secretary General have also called for restraint from Israeli leaders, fearing escalation of the conflict in the Middle East. Of course, US President Biden said it would stand behind Israel.
We are devoted to the defense of Israel. We will support Israel, we will help defend Israel, and Iran will not succeed.
Iran's attack came after its embassy compound in Syria was bombed on April 1st, where 7 Iranian Revolutionary Guards were killed. This weekend's attack, which involved over 300 missiles and drones, caused only moderate damage in Israel. The only serious injury reported within Israel was a 7-year-old hurt by shrapnel.
This attack crossed every red line, and Israel reserves the legal right to retaliate. We are not a frog in boiling water. We are a nation of lions.
That was Israel's defense minister. Israel also warns that Iran is a danger not only to them, but to everyone. Israel's ambassador in Spain told Spanish television that Iran was a risk to all of Europe.
De alto riesgo no solamente para Israel sino para toda la zona, para Europa y más allá.
Meanwhile, Iran has said that they are not seeking an escalation of the conflict.
Iran is never seeking to contribute to the spillover of the conflict in the region, nor does it to escalate or spread the tension to the entire region.
Spain's response to Iran's attack fell in line with the rest of the EU's positions. In a post on X, formerly Twitter, Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez condemned Iran's actions but asked for responsibility and restraint in Israel's response.
Last week, Prime Minister Sánchez visited Norway and Ireland seeking support for the recognition of a Palestinian state. Spain's Foreign Minister Álvarez announced that the Prime Minister would continue to make these rounds this week.
Va a continuar esta semana con esas rondas y voy a participar en Nueva York, en la sede de las Naciones Unidas, el jueves, representando a España en la sesión.
And that the Foreign Minister would be participating in the UN Security Council in New York this Thursday, where he will support the Palestine's entry into the UN.
This Monday, Spain's Prime Minister hosted Portugal's new Prime Minister, Luis Montenegro, leader of the centre-right coalition in Portugal. and the Portuguese Prime Minister's first official visit abroad.
The British Overseas Territory, Gibraltar, located at the very south of the Iberian Peninsula, has been a difficult subject since Brexit. The main issue is that of borders, customs and airspace, as Britain is now no longer part of the European Union.
Significant progress was made, according to the Spanish Foreign Minister, after talks were held in Brussels on Friday.
Yo siempre digo que nada está acordado hasta que todo está acordado, pero también les digo que
I always say that there's no agreement until there's an agreement, but I will also say that Friday was very important and that we're practically at an agreement. An agreement that will be key for over 32,000 Gibraltarians, 270,000 residents of the Spanish border region of Campo de Gibraltar, and the 15,000 workers who cross the border fence every day.
On the 14th of April, Spain commemorated the proclamation of the Second Republic, which lasted from 1931 and ended in 1939, with the end of the Civil War and the beginning of the Francoist dictatorship. The anniversary arrives at a time when conservative parties are pushing for solidarity laws, which would invalidate several points included in the Democratic Memory Law.
Several commemoratory events took place over the weekend to advocate for democratic memory and to remember the victims of the Civil War. Antonio Ortañón, president of the Association Heroes of the Republic.
Y queremos y exigimos con un criterio y un talante
we want and we demand that with criteria and disposition of solidarity, justice is applied so that our victims are treated with the same delicacy and justice as the victims of the Francoist side.
Con la misma delicadeza y justicia que fueron las víctimas del bando franquista.
It is estimated that there are 140,000 people missing from this time period, and their families still try to look for their bodies, although the lack of transparency during the war and the dictatorship make this effort extremely difficult.
The past weekend in Spain left temperatures between 7 and 15 degrees higher than usual for April, with record temperatures in the north of the country and the Canary Islands.
In Barcelona, temperatures reached 29.4 degrees, the highest temperature in April in 110 years. The Spanish weather agency warned that this past weekend has been extraordinarily warm for this time of the year. And in Valencia, a forest fire has affected almost 600 hectares in the city of Tarbena. 180 people were evacuated, but as of Monday afternoon, no houses were affected. The first theories point at an uncontrolled scrap burning as the cause of the fire. Pilar Bernabé, Valencian government's delegate.
Se le tomará declaración a la persona que estaba haciendo esa quema y veremos las circunstancias de la quema.
The person behind the burning will present a statement and we will see the circumstances of the burning. It is true that it was a controlled burning, but we will look into the circumstances in which it was done. The regional government issued an order to prohibit all scrap burnings for the day and until the weather conditions change.
Temperatures were also high in Seville for the Feria de Abril celebrations after a rainy Holy Week meant cancelled processions.
Después de la Semana Santa, con todo lo que ha llovido, apetece feria.
Bueno, un ambiente impresionante, impresionante.
Un ambiente de gloria, un ambiente bonito, de sevillano.
O sea, además que yo vengo de Madrid después de tantos años estudiando aquí y siempre es bonito volver.
After Holy Week with all the rain, it feels like feria. The atmosphere is impressive, it's glorious, civilian. I come from Madrid and it's always beautiful to come back here.
The fair began last Saturday with the traditional Cena del Pescaito, fish dinner, before turning on the lights, which this year included 220,000 light bulbs. And on Sunday, the first official day of Feria began with the Exhibición de Enganches, where horse carriages are paraded in the Maestranza bull ring pulled by magnificent horses to showcase the technical and aesthetic details of the carriages.
Unfortunately, high temperatures also had negative consequences. A horse lost its life due to a heat stroke on Sunday. Although the new animal welfare law establishes some recommendations for the care of horses, it does not prohibit their use in fairs, something that animal rights activists have criticized. Last year, three horses lost their lives in the Fair of Seville.
language service of Spanish National Radio. And we'd like to remind listeners that you can get in touch with us via email at the address english@rtve.es. And you can also send us WhatsApp voice notes to the number 34680-688-698. And we especially enjoy receiving letters and postcards, which you can send to RNE, Casa de la Radio, Avenida Radio y Televisión 4, Postal Code 28223, Madrid, Spain.
A few weeks ago, a Spanish judge ordered the closing of Telegram in Spain, an instant messaging platform with more than 8 million users in the country. This decision came after a complaint from media organizations Mediaset, A3Media and Movistar Plus, accusing the platform of allowing users to share copyrighted content. The order sparked a wave of criticism and raised a lot of questions about censorship and free speech. Eventually, the ban was suspended by the same judge who, after a police report, considered it was disproportionate. The ban of social media platforms is not exclusively a Spanish problem. Recently, the US passed a bill to ban TikTok for security reasons. They argue its ties to China threaten national security because the Chinese government could use this platform to spy on Americans. But do these bans actually threaten freedom of speech? Are we going to see more cases in the future? To answer these questions, we are joined by Enrique Puertas, doctor in Applied Information Technologies and director of the Big Data Master in the Universidad Europea of Madrid. Enrique, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, we just gave a general overview of what happened with Telegram, but tell us, how was it possible that a judge ordered the closing of this platform in the whole country?
Yeah, probably the problem was that the judge didn't know how many people were using Telegram. Usually, judges use opinion from experts, because usually they have a humanity and literary background. So when they have to take decisions about technical or technological aspects, they usually rely on the opinion of experts. Probably this was not the case, because what I saw is that probably Judge Verrat didn't know how many people were using Telegram, and probably that were the problem.
Yeah, something that was also quite surprising was that in a matter of days, he backtracked and he suspended the ban. So why did this happen so quickly?
Yeah, probably many people said what you are trying to do is disproportional, because there are, as you have previously said, 8 million people using this platform. And in my opinion, probably he didn't know this information, the impact of the ban. So when he realized what was the impact of the decision, probably he has to change the ban and suspend the measure.
Mm-hmm. So how legitimate would it be to ban social media or messaging platforms for the content that is being published or shared in them?
Yeah, the problem with this kind of decision is that you are, there is a Spanish sentence that says that you are killing the messenger. Mm-hmm. So this is something similar. My opinion, Telegram was the platform where the content were shared, but they were not responsible of that content of the illegal content that were sharing the platform. This is somehow similar to if you, for example, say we will have to ban Google or the web, WhatsApp, because there are illegal content shared in chat groups, in web pages. Yeah, obviously, the problem is not the platform where it shared the content. The problem is with the people that is sharing that illegal content, or that content that have rights, and they cannot share that mm-hmm. that content.
So is there any way in which these people could be stopped from sharing that content, or is it too difficult?
Yeah, sometimes it's difficult when you are dealing with people that can be in any country, people that is not in Spain, but it could be they could be in China, Russia, or any country. So it's very difficult to identify who they are. So that's one problem. And another problem is that the laws in one country may not be, you cannot maybe apply those laws to other countries, for example. And that's something that that could happen, that if it happens in many social networks. You say you cannot share this kind of content, but in the country where that platform is located, for example, in United States, they have the speech freedom, so maybe they are allowed to post that kind of messages or content. So it's difficult in an international situation with many countries, with different laws, regulatory backgrounds, so it's not easy to apply the things for the situation.
Mm-hmm. But is there any specific problem with Telegram or its encryption that maybe facilitates the sharing of this illegal content?
Yeah, one of the things that that Telegram has that is different from other platforms, they are they say they try to keep the privacy of the users. That's the reason why there are many people using Telegram instead of other platforms like, for example, WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger, and that's because of the encryption of the communication, the encryption of the messages that are shared among the users in the platform, and that's why it's so difficult to identify also the person, the people that is publishing or is sharing that content.
Mm-hmm. So could Telegram provide any information about these people who are sharing the content?
Usually no, because the encryption is, they are using a technique that is peer-to-peer encryption, so the platform, the Telegram, they don't know the information that is shared. Mm-hmm. Because encryption is between one user to another user, and the platform cannot see the information, so they are not able to provide information about the content shared and the users. They can, if the judge, for example, ask to close the accounts or they provide information about they are sharing, not allowed to share content, illegal content, Telegram could ban, close the account. They could do that, mm-hmm. of course. But they cannot see the messages that are shared between the users.
Well, we also also mentioned TikTok and the possible TikTok ban in the US. Now, in Telegram, it was more about content, and I believe that in TikTok, it's more about what information is being shared by the platform itself. Are there any similarities in these cases?
Yeah, they are different cases because, as we have said, with Telegram, the problem was the content. With TikTok, the problem is the privacy and the data that can be stored in the TikTok servers. And just we have to have in mind that TikTok is a Chinese platform, and the U.S. government think it could they could use that information for get information about the users, information that they could use. I don't know, maybe they could think that it could be used for economic or enterprise decisions using that kind of information. Also by the government, because one of the things that the U.S. government is worried about is about the use of the private data by the Chinese government. So in this situation, in this case, the problem is not the content, it's a problem of national security. They say that the Chinese government could have access to private information of American people.
Mm-hmm. Well, the decision to ban TikTok has also faced a lot of criticism that speak about like the freedom of speech or censorship. Could this actually be considered a threat to freedom of speech?
This is a similar problem of the problem that we have mentioned before of what we consider in one country versus what people think it's about in another country. Because the idea of freedom of speech is different if you are in Europe, if you are in China, or if you are in the United States. So, maybe for the people in the United States, they say they usually give a lot of importance to freedom of speech, but in other countries that's not the case. So in this problem between the U.S. government and the TikTok users and the TikTok platform, the how they see the freedom of speech, the speech is different. So I don't know how this is going to evolve, but I don't know if the use of freedom of speech will help to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that maybe the regulations and the laws are struggling to catch up to the fast development of new technologies?
For sure, yeah. We have been seeing that in the last 2-3 years, technology, especially artificial intelligence, is evolving with very quickly. And usually the regulatory aspects of the technology cannot evolve at the same speed. So usually regulation is a step behind the advances in technology.
Mm-hmm. And how much should the administration or government get involved in the content that is shared on social media or the development of technologies?
This is something that is related to the freedom of speech. How they can how can they? I don't know if the word is to regulate, but how can be the guardians of the of the use of the of this kind of platform, and what they have to watch is about the those platform, not the platform, but the users do not use those platforms for sharing information, fake information, the fake news, for illegal content, like content that has right. So they have to regulate the use of the social networks, these kind of platforms, in the same way as other aspects of the regulation of the media, not only digital platform, digital media, but all the media. So they have to treat to they have to act as if they were working with physical traditional media, the same way.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you've said that one of the main struggles that these sort of regulations face is that social media are usually global and they are used by people all over the world, but regulations are local. Do you think that maybe an international agreement is needed to regulate this media?
It could help, but it's very, very difficult because mm-hmm. we have seen that it's very difficult to for countries to agree in a very basic ideas, and so it would be great, but I think it's very, very difficult mm-hmm. that all countries in the world agree for the same regulation for, because obviously each country has different laws, has different ideas. It's also a cultural aspect. So I think not difficult, but I think it's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the ban in Spain and in the US are not the only ones. We have also seen in 2018 the Russian government try to ban Telegram as well. And we have seen social media bans in Nigeria, in China, in India. Are we going to see more cases like this in the future?
Yeah, probably yes. Because if you want to control what people see, what people say, one of the ways to control that is to ban or control the platform that people is using to share the information. So in countries that try to have the control over what people see and what people say, one of the best things is to ban or to control those kind of platforms. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Enrique Puertas, doctor in applied information technologies and director of the Big Data Master in the Universidad Europea of Madrid. Thank you so much for your insight and for joining us today.
Thank you.
You are listening to Radio Exterior de España.
We finish today's broadcast, as we often do, with a song. Today is the 15th of April, and we're going to throw back to a 2002 hit released by Spanish pop-rock band Amaral. This song is called Toda la noche en la calle, All Night in the Street.
Porque este mundo no lo entiendo.
We met in January, you forgot about me in February, and now it's the 15th of April and you say you miss me. That's how this song begins and that's how we leave you.
You've been listening to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio with Amy Egan and Marilyn Quintana. Today we've had help from sound technician Javier López and production help from Cristina Dorado.
We thank you for listening and hope you tune in again for future broadcasts.
Vale que me entiendan, no sé qué pinto yo aquí. Dejo un torito en la arena, si solo quiero vivir. ¿Y qué le voy a hacer si mañana nadie sabe? Toda la noche en la calle. Yeah. si mañana nadie sabe? ¿Qué voy a hacer si el futuro está en el aire?